like a shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When it's sink or swim, only option is to win. In the murky water, not a thought of giving in. I've been feeling like a shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When it's sink or swim, only option is to win. In the murky water, not a thought of giving in. Welcome to the shrimp tank, word to Chris Hanks. Before to put it all together, this is big thanks. Doing big things, chasing big dreams. Yeah, it's all real, this life's all that it seems. All the chicks scream, all the dudes yell. This is just what I do and I do it well. With the flow fresher than the new shoe smell. Going through hell, well homie keep going. You know the saying, you gon' reap what you sow in. So I don't chase girls, I just chase dreams. Play the same game, but we ain't in the same league. Running a campaign, roadie 2016, like a phone to die, putting me in charge. I'm a general from the front, I'ma lead the charge. Like a federal, fell on my lap, never going hard as ever. The results match the effort.
Hey, everybody, good morning, and welcome to the Shrimp Tank, brought to you right here at the Bizrus Radio Networks in Sandy Spring. You like that, Ryan? I did that right today, where we interview the brightest and best business owners in the state of Georgia about the do's and don'ts of starting, growing, and creating a successful business. You know, the Shrimp Tank, we also bring you some live pitches you'll see in the next couple of months, because there are a lot of kids out there, high school kids and college kids, that had these genius ideas that are going to change the shape of entrepreneurship and what we do here in the state of Georgia. And you'll see some of those pitches. We'll do them live and talk about their businesses. But we find out when our owners come here on the tank, whether or not their business will swim or sink when they get on the Shrimp Tank. So I'm your co-host, Ted Jenkins, sitting here every week with my co-host, Chris Hanks, who is the man. He's the executive director. He's the founder of now the official Shore Center for Entrepreneurship. Chris, what is going on this week at KSU?
You know, it's exciting. You're talking about those pitches, and now the season's ramping up. So it's been a lot of fun.
The pitch season's ramping up. Does this have anything to do with television, that like we get back in season here in September and all the shows come back
absolutely.
On?
Absolutely. Yes, okay. Absolutely.
I just don't know if you raise more money pre-season. In the fall, or you don't. Is there something seasonality to that?
Yeah, this is the season where students are back in their, you know, the fall semester groove. They're working on their businesses. They're getting right at the point where they're getting to start pitching their businesses. We've got some competitions coming up at the high school level. It's going to be a really good event. We're getting geared up for our KSU Top 100, so it's going to be better
than us. You know, I think a lot of parents don't know this, but KSU is exploding right now. The Shore Center for Entrepreneurs is unbelievable, because before Chris actually got to Kennesaw State, there was no school, no college, no university in the state of Georgia that you could actually get a certificate, a degree in entrepreneurship. Think about this. A lot of people out there get degrees. We've said before that some of those kids are working at Starbucks, and if you get this entrepreneurship degree. So the kids that are in the program now, will they all be pitching a program, or they all have to actually start a business in the entrepreneurship program?
They have to start a business, because we learn best on a need-to-know basis. So what better way to teach them about entrepreneurship by making them actually start a business and experience the hardships of entrepreneurship?
And do you get capital for it? Does the school give them capital to start the business?
Not give, Ted, because that would create a sense of entitlement. One of our core values is to break that sense of entitlement. So not give.
It's a loan,
but they can earn equity.
Oh, earn.
They can earn equity, raise equity and or cash and or services for their ventures.
Have you tried free beer? Has that worked yet or no?
Free beer and pizza can get a lot of coding done over a weekend.
I'll tell you
apparently.
I hired a bunch of young kids at these places. Now, if you're a coder and you graduate from Georgia Tech, I think, Ryan, now you start at like 80 grand a year. It's some ridiculous number.
That's fantastic. So I need to go back to school then, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, parent, look at this. Honestly, like studying history, which like 90% of the kids do, forget about it. That's, although poli-sci classes may be interesting after this debate for sure. It'll probably change what we see in the classroom. Look, we are very fortunate. We want to get right to it. We have a great guest today, Cliff Oxford. Talk about entrepreneurship. How about actually starting your own center for entrepreneurship and dealing with some of the brightest and best CEOs, not just in Georgia, but all across the country? I've been a member of this organization for about a year now, and some of my friends have been in it for many years and learned a lot about entrepreneurship, but learned a lot about how you not only grow a business, but how you ultimately exit and sell a business down the road. We're really excited to talk to Cliff today. Now, normally in the beginning of this, Chris and I will do some banter, but I thought I would bring in Cliff today, because we get these feeds from the Oxford Center for Entrepreneurship about news and notes of what's going on sort of in the in the community, who's selling a business and what's happening. So what is the biggest news and notes right now about entrepreneurship? Any big deals? Has anything cool happened?
Well, first of all, thanks for having me. And I'm going to, you did a great job describing the Oxford Center. I usually fumble and fumble around with that. And Ted, you knocked it out of, you knocked it out of the park. I hope we got that recorded. Obviously we do. I'm going to use that one. So thanks for you and Chris having me. You know, actually Chris has been part of this Oxford Center for now, probably 5 years. We had one over at the, at UGA when you were there, and Chris has been a great mentor and advisor to me, and I really appreciate what he's doing in academics. Enough bragging on Chris, but you don't find many like him in academics. I've been in academics. So, but also, as far as your question goes, you know, the big thing this morning is Twitter. They blew it.
I know. They blew it.
They
huh?
blew it.
They were about to get bought out. What, did they drop 10% this morning or something like that?
They're down 17 right now.
Hey, now.
And I wouldn't.
That's something to tweet about for sure. Yeah,
you know, Dorsey. Jack Dorsey, the founder, a great entrepreneur, but he, you know, he does what we often do, entrepreneurs. He ran his mouth, and he said yesterday he was not going to sell less than a penny, less than $20 billion, and he iced the market. I mean, you know, you can imagine the Disney shareholders calling Bob Iger, don't touch it for $20 billion. And so he just spooked the whole market with that comment, because you know what it is? Entrepreneurs, he does not want to sell. Jack Dorsey does not. That's his baby. He doesn't want to sell. So, and if he's got to sell, he's going to say, you're going to give me $20 billion. He's not a motivated seller.
Hanks, this is like a Wedding Crashers moment. What a loser. what an idiot, you know?
Yeah, big time. Big time.
$20 billion. I mean, come on right now. Look, you have to face the facts over time, don't you? This is interesting before we get to talk about the Oxford Center some more, but there are a lot of business owners that can't face the facts that they could actually sell the business for a lot of money, even when they're not profitable. Because I still think Twitter's not making any money, or not a lot, at least not near what Facebook has done and other companies like that. So why does a owner like this hold out? Do they really think that they can get more?
Well, you know, Dorsey, number one, money is not going to make him any richer than he is already. I mean, he can't really. So you got to look at it that way. He's not like he's on thin ice where he needs the money. Secondly, selling. Now, if he could have sold to Disney, you know, like as an entrepreneur, you're selling to Disney.
That's
not really,
what I thought was going
to
acquire them.
It's not really selling. Disney, right. You're just kind of giving it to a, you know, to Walt.
Right.
Selling to Salesforce, that's painful for Dorsey. He would sit at home at night and think that gleeb over at Salesforce, then I'll sell an infrastructure software, bought my company, and he would be in deep pain over that. I made the mistake. I mean, Safeguard came in to me and offered me, I wound up taking $10 million less than what Safeguard, because Safeguard came in and said, well, I'll buy you. And I'm like, oh, you know, I don't know if I want to sell and blah, blah. Look, things are going great. And, but things happen in the market.
Right. And can't get greedy sometimes.
Can't get greedy. And, you know, sometimes it's like my daughter went off to college. I got to let her go. You know, I wish she would stay here and go to Kennesaw. But, you know, there's time for all seasons. So that's the big thing right now in the entrepreneur world is watching Twitter. And, you know, the first thing I tell entrepreneurs when we go to exit their sell their business, keep your mouth closed. Don't be running your mouth. Entrepreneurs, we have big mouths.
Yeah. Well, it's a hard thing, too, because
apparently Trump didn't take your advice.
Yet. Yeah, I know.
That's true. They just didn't.
But passion creates blind spots. So it's hard for... I think an owner of a business to be objective about the value of my business, what it's worth, what I can and can't do.
Yeah, it absolutely is. And Dorsey loves Twitter. I mean, that's his, you know, he's got Square and all that. That's a job for him. But, you know, Twitter is his baby. So that's the big thing. And believe it or not, the other thing is Desert Trip. Speaking of music, that's this weekend.
Yeah,
in California.
That's Coachella for adults there, right?
Coachella for adults.
I actually had two unbelievable tickets to this, and I gave them to some friends
me?
Of mine.
You gave them to me?
I mean, it's 3 days in the desert there. You got everybody's out there. You got the Rolling Stones. You got all kinds of stuff.
Absolutely. But, you know, the guy who put this together is an entrepreneur. And, you know, how do you get this group together? Bob Dylan, Rolling Stones,
right.
Bob, Paul McCartney.
Roger Waters is out there. All kinds of stuff.
So Pete the average Floyd. Age of the musician is
72.
They went into
You didn't have to bring that.
They went into this two hacks and they said at this point, they said it's debatable if California is medical marijuana or not. Yeah. You know? So it's debatable. And clearly that small confined area of Coachella probably, you know, will have passed California state legislation. So they... We're all good for that concert.
Entrepreneurial organizer kept calling Jagger's people, and they turned me down for 2 years. And he says, and this is an important lesson, Brian. He says, I got to get in front of him. You got to get. And they kept telling him, no, no, no. Finally, he gets a call one morning, and they go, "Is Jagger's person said, he said he'll see you tomorrow in his dressing room. And the guy's like, where's his dressing room? And he says, he's going to be in the Netherlands. And the guy got on a plane that day and flew to the Netherlands. And he said he walked into the dressing room, and Jagger was fixing his hair going, give me your pitch. You got 12 seconds. And Jagger says, I'm in. And once you get Jagger in, it's like winning a Fortune 10 account, right? You got everybody after that.
Hey, so. We're sitting here with Cliff Oxford, who's the CEO of the Oxford Center for Entrepreneurship. We're so delighted to have him on the show today. You're listening to The Shrimp Tank. We come to you live every week, 11:30 to 12:30. Thanks for joining us during your lunch hour. It's really exciting to have some of the brightest and best entrepreneurs in the state of Georgia. And if you didn't catch some of our prior broadcasts, go to shrimptankpodcast.com. You can see videos of our entrepreneurs. You can see, listen to podcasts. Look, if you're starting a business now, you want to be involved with a place like the Oxford Center for Entrepreneurship, because how else are you going to learn? You know, most entrepreneurs anyway will learn by getting bloody, quickly banging their head against the wall a million times. So at least you can avoid some of those mistakes. Clearly, you won't be able to avoid them all. And I'm curious, Cliff, like, how did this idea come about? Because it's a pretty big endeavor to start a business. To me, it seems like a bigger endeavor to start and sort of herd in lots of entrepreneurs into a center for entrepreneurship. How did you come up with the idea to create this?
Well, I was over at Emory trying to do what Chris is doing at Kennesaw, getting an entrepreneur major, getting an entrepreneur center. You know, we struggled. This was 2004, so I was really early in the market. So, you know what, I started having the, you know, we started it there at Emory, the Oxford Center at the Emory, and then 2010, we took it out commercial and started opening it up to the community. And it was really a desire. When I sold my company and I went to Emory, I said, you know, we're not teaching these kids how to build a business. We're teaching them how to work for somebody. And we need to be teaching them how to build a business, because I think that's what most of them are going to do. And, you know, a key strategic decision was focusing on second stage and beyond, not startup. That's really where I struggled, was when we got to 200 people, you know, how do you get from 200 to 400 and opening more offices? And there was no playbook for that, that at least I found at the time. I didn't know anybody. I'm like, you know, so when I went to Emory, I said, I really want to focus on the growth, the high growth company that's growing fast. And I think these people are very dynamic in the industry, just like you, just like Lee. And you know what we finally able to do was aggregate these people, who it's hard to get them in a room. It's hard to keep them in a room. It's hard to keep them on their attention. But we communicated with them and came up content that appealed to them. And then, you know, but you need a break. The New York Times was a big one. I started writing in the New York Times.
It's big. That publicity is big.
Publicity. That is what broke the doors open. That's how I get, you know, Ted Baker, Lazan from Think Thin, all these great entrepreneurs all over the country, Laura Zander, William Vanderblumen in Houston, who's a tremendous entrepreneur member. So that was really where it broke open. And the third thing was totally by accident. This morning report, this blog I do every morning, you know, I wish I could say I planned it out and it was a great strategy and we thought about it a lot, but it was one of those things I threw up against the wall and, hey, it's sticking, Cliff. Yeah. This one, and that's how it, and that really tied the community together.
I saw one of these blogs on here, and it said, staying, selling, or praying. Now, what is that? Is that, this is like a rock, paper, scissors type thing? Is it, what does that even mean, staying, selling, or praying? What is
that? Well, I deal with it every day. Entrepreneurs have to make a decision. Do I stay and build, or do I sell and exit? And entrepreneurs, like, I'm really good at companies between a zero and 100 million.
Right.
I'm really good at it. Above 100 million, I don't know if I'm that good at that. You know, it's budget meetings, it's banks, it's all this stuff. So entrepreneurs, some people are good at from zero to 10 million, and good for them. And you need to sell at 10 million.
Right.
And you got to decide, am I going to stay and build? And if you are going to build, these are the things you're going to be looking at. Putting in a great Plains accounting system.
Right.
Not real fun, but you're going to do that if you want to be a $25 million company. Do you sell and exit and go do something else? or to do the third option, which many of us do, and that's just pray. Pray that it works. Pray that it works. And that's not that. That's the one we want you to pray, but not don't just make prayer the only strategy. It can certainly be a good faith strategy, but so that's the staying, selling, or praying.
So, well, and that does remind me that Cliff is really good at coming up with great titles. Well, I think my favorite from your event that I attended was Hooters or Tutors. Wasn't it something
you
like that?
You still remember that?
I do. Well, how could you forget Hooters and Tutors? I mean, what a great name for a CEO event.
Yes, and what did you do there?
You know what? You know,
well, I tell you, it was a little false advertising. I have to admit that. But
that's how you get him in the door. Were you expecting to get the beer from Hooters Girls?
And who we had there? She's a great entrepreneur here in town. She's now running
Focus. Is it
Focus?
Somebody
yeah.
from Focus
oh,
Brands.
Focus,
yeah.
All the Focus
yeah.
brands, and we picked her out early. We got her before she hit the celebrity circuit, and but you know what? Everybody on my staff told me not to do that. Do you know that? Everybody
is that true?
Everybody on staff said, you can't send that out. And you know, and sometimes I'm finding there's sometimes when you just have to do what you think is right. The entrepreneur just got to pull the trigger.
Right.
And sometimes it gets you in trouble. I've also
Cliff, I say a lot
they
of
also
stuff.
They also told me things not to do, and I did it and I got in trouble. But this was one that it lit up the circuit board.
Yeah, no, we said last week, I think, Hank said, no, ixnay on this, but I brought up this idea. My friend Lee Heisman here, he has this term. It's called, I'm ribbed for your pleasure. And we brought it up last week, and I don't know whether McCarter thought it floated or not. Really, I don't know. The facial didn't go so well, but sometimes you just have to say what you're going to say. And don't some entrepreneurs, the real successful ones, though, they're blunt force trauma, right? A lot of times that they will just say whatever they're going to say.
You know who the tutor was? And in fact, he announced his presidency at the event was Terman Cain.
Yep.
Herman Cain was the tutor?
He was the tutor.
Herman Cain was the tutor.
Shucky
and you had a
ducky.
Former Hooter girl CEO.
Former Hooter girl.
So yeah, that was just a great, great title.
Hooters and tutors. Yeah.
It's non plan.
So yeah. But when you have those events and you have so many CEOs in a room, which always impressed me that you can get that many people together in a room, people who all are starved for time. But you're getting them there, and you've got to sort of meet them where they are and get them farther than they thought possible. I mean, what do you do how do you accomplish that? How do you, in such a brief time, get that many people together and actually have them leave better?
Well, right now, Mike, Casey, Caleb, Katie, Grant, Aiden are all analysts working with entrepreneurs out there right now. And we work with them. Now, that event is kind of a... like going to revival, but we're working with them every day and helping them helping them with growth, helping them with the 7S model, which you're very familiar with.
Absolutely.
The brand chart. So, the Oxford, we're connecting people right now. So the events are the kind of the fun part. The hard work is right now, Mike Casey's at Larry Hightower's, totally cutting his website away, going to help him come back with what we call a web app, which you can do now for about $6,000. His PR firm was going to charge him like $100,000 with a web development firm. And websites are really simple now.
They are. You can get on WordPress and make them really easy.
Really easy. And nobody's diving into them like we used to do.
Right.
Remember that we used to do the deep dives?
Yeah.
Everybody's going there and you've got a 30-second video. You got some social media. A Fortune 10. I was telling an entrepreneur yesterday, I said, you know what? You're really aging your whole company here because your website looks... it's 5,000 pages.
Right.
And who's looking at 5,000 pages of website?
No.
Now? So they can save a lot of money. So that's what we have to do with them. We ultimately have to add value to help these people get to the next level, or else they got plenty of other things to do. Lee Heisman, Jenkins, all these people are busy, busiest people in the world. And that's what makes it really fun for me. I have to say, how can I make Lee Heisman come back? Content. So content's really is really king at the Oxford Center.
Hey, we're gonna take a break from our sponsors. You're listening to the Shrimp Tank right here on the Business Radio Networks. When we come back with Cliff Oxford, CEO of the Oxford Center for Entrepreneurship, I'm gonna find out if Cliff can tell me the difference between a workaholic and an alcoholic. We'll be right back on the Shrimp Tank.
In business, it's either time or money. How much money does your business lose if your network is down for a day? How much time do your employees waste trying to fix computer issues? At Savant, we have the experts that work on your network to simply make your company run more efficiently. Macs, PCs, mobile solutions, no problem. Savant's battery life never ends. Call 770-438-6240 now.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Shrimp Tank. Got to check out those guys at Savant. Look, if you want your IT done right, check them out. They know what they're doing. I've used them for many years myself. So on the Shrimp Tank, remember, we bring here every week to you some of the brightest and best entrepreneurs across the state of Georgia. We're now learning more about what's happening across the United States. We're sitting here with our guest today, Cliff Oxford, who's the CEO of the Oxford Center for Entrepreneurship. He's not only sold big business, but has helped many, many business owners sell businesses and figure out how to grow them to large numbers. You can always catch a replay on shrimptankpodcast.com. Hear all of the great commentary from our CEOs. We've heard from everyone like the number one real estate agent in the country and Rhonda Duffy to a growing firm like Steve Eisenstein on classic tents and events and all kinds of stuff out there. Just, it's really amazing to me about how many businesses make money. You know, a lot of people hear about these exciting technology white collar businesses, but I have to tell you something. Do you want to own a carpet cleaning company that does 20 million in sales? I mean, they are out there every single day with businesses that are growing. So in our second segment, we like to do something that's called Hot or Not. I'm also here with my co-host, Chris Hanks, who's the founder and executive director of now the Center for Entrepreneurship at KSU, which is the Shore Center for Entrepreneurship. I was chided for not making the whatever it was, the induction ceremony. I was unable to make that.
Yeah, you were greatly missed, Ted.
That's because, Chris, they weren't handing out $100 bills. I would have come. I would have come to the event. But real interesting, one of the members at the Oxford Center for Entrepreneurship is a 22-year-old, I won't call him a child because he's more of a man-child. I had breakfast with him this morning. He may be something more than a man-child, by the way, but he has started a successful business at the age of 19, basically baking cookies and delivering them. It was unbelievable. Now competes with companies like Uber Eats and things like that. It's really amazing stuff. His name is Zach Zellner. And we had breakfast this morning, and he had a quote this morning. And so my first hot or not in section two here with Cliff is he said this quote specifically, "The only difference between a workaholic and an alcoholic is that the workaholic gets praise for it." Thoughts on that?
Well, the best presentation ever given at the Oxford Center was Dr. Dragana Burkowski. And she's a MD, psychiatrist, MBA. And she came in with three brain scans. And she put the brain scans up. And the first brain scan was that of an alcoholic. Then there was a brain scan of somebody on cocaine. And then there was a brain scan of an entrepreneur doing a deal. And the same exact part of the brain was lighting up. And she really moved people in that room today. And she saved two marriages because she said, spouses, when your husband or wife's at business all day doing deals, this is their brain. They come home at 7 o'clock. And you got to complain about, you know, the leak in the faucet. Now, what does that do to that brain, you know, that's been lit up all day long? And so anyway, I think it's all chemical.
You're not listening to me. Right.
It's all chemical. And let me tell you, the workaholic is, something I've dealt with personally.
Because most entrepreneurs do you not see this?
Absolutely.
Are they kids that are going through there too? Are they workaholics?
Yeah, well, and I've always I like the way Richard Branson put it. You know, I don't distinguish between work and play. To me, it's all living, right?
Right.
So the idea that, okay, well, for some reason that you're supposed to be unhappy during work and then at 5 o'clock race out the door and then have more enjoyment on the golf course than you do at work. That's normal.
I'm using that one at home.
Okay.
That's
awesome.
Yeah. We got to quote Hanks at least once a show. I've been thinking about this for a while as a side project, if KSU will let you do it. But we need in these management books, because really, I think Cliff is right. People don't really read anymore on websites. They're just basically scan right now. We need one of those Gary Larson Far Side books where you adjust your quotes or something like that. We flip through and thumb
there
through.
There we go. And then we'll sketch it out. We'll have like nice little images to go with it.
The kids love it. It's, you know, $4.99, $9.99. We'll just sell it there. Self-publish on Amazon for $1.50. It'll be all set, you know? Well, here's a hot or not on here, because you probably see this or not, and you've probably seen the bad and good and the ugly around it. Is it a good idea for an entrepreneur to hire family members? Is your experience in seeing all these businesses over the years, is it a big pro or is it a big con?
Unquestionably a big con.
I mean, really?
Yeah, a big con. You know, you see where it works some here and there. You know, certainly Chick-fil-A is a great example where it worked. That's a shining example. But in the trenches businesses out there making it, Jimmy Johnson, the coach Jimmy Johnson, told me at a conference one time, he says, you should tell your entrepreneurs, they're not a family. You can't fire a family member. They're a team. And entrepreneurs, and certainly in fast growth, now family businesses are different, but I'm talking about in my category, fast growth, you got to put the best player out there every single day or you're not going to make it. And that's hard to do. It's hard to tell a family member you're no longer part of the family. You can't.
What are you going to tell your wife's sister? It's like, we got to let her go. By the way, I'll be absentee during the holidays. You know, you just can't do that.
Yeah. So I know it works in some cases, but I deal a lot with it every week. You wouldn't believe it.
It's great advice.
So this may sound like a no-brainer kind of question, but fast growth, hot or not? Should everybody grow fast?
No. Let me tell you, I've taught some really good people, particularly in this town. Sarah Baker, who runs Inspire Health, who is a wonderful professional, and just she was got to two offices, and I sat down with her and said, you know, this is what your life's going to be like if you want to get the 10. Let me just map out for you. And for some people, let me tell you, they go, I love that. I love that. But it's not for everybody. And that's one of the things we do, is not just help people go fast, but help explain what the sacrifices. You want to be a big company? You know, Ted Baker, Lee, at our last entrepreneur briefing, Ted Baker said, who went from zero to 200,000, 3 million to 30 million.
Wow.
And he's selling Kalo, Q-A-L-O, the Kalo ring. Anyway, Kalo said, you want to be a big company? Grow up. Get rid of the sports car, get rid of the boats, cut your salary, and you're going to be working. There's no shortcut here. And you're going to be working on Saturday. And that's just, you want to go from 3 to 30 million? This is what your life's going to be like.
It's heavy-duty lifting.
It's heavy-duty lifting. That's for some people. I personally enjoyed it. I don't think I'm going to have that much fun again. It's not for everybody.
So how do you know if it's too fast? Like, do you do sustainable growth rates, or is there any other kind of way, or is it more of the owner of the business, the person, versus the ratios of the business? How do you know if you're growing too fast?
If you're growing too fast, that's a really good question, because even if you're doing things right, you're still outstripping your infrastructure and leadership team.
Yeah, I may be outrunning my coverage and not even know.
Is it the day when you can't name employees anymore? Like, hey, I don't know that guy, but he works here. Is that when it happens? You know, because I saw that happen to a big HR company, payroll company that sold out to UltiPro.
Yep.
And when they were growing in there, one of the owners had told me, they said, you know, we're growing fast. I said, well, how fast are you growing? He goes, I don't know the name of that guy. And, you know, I thought, boy, that probably is when you're growing fast, when you literally, the employees don't know that you're the boss.
You know, I think I encourage people to keep an eye on the financial metrics. You know, if you're adding revenue and your profits are going going down, and and there's just no increase in profits. In fact, if you grow, your profits are going to decrease.
Yeah.
Right? That's when you need to take a look at it, because that's going nowhere.
Yeah. Yeah. I had a business owner tell me, it's like, wow, I had a record year last year and I never want to go through that again.
Hey, you're listening to the Shrimp Tank right here on the Business Radio Networks. We're going to take a quick break. I'm your co-host, Ted Jenkins, with my co-host, Chris Hanks. We're interviewing today the CEO of the Oxford Center for Entrepreneurship, Cliff Oxford, who's not only sold big businesses, he's helped many, many business owners sell big businesses. We've got great stuff. When we come back after the break, we're going to get into our plead the fifth question. And how could I not have Cliff on and talk just a little bit of politics? So join us right back after a break from our sponsors.
Does it seem like the more money you make, the more money seems to slip through your fingers? Why is it that you make six figures, but seem to have six figures worth of bills? Now it's time to get a plan. Set up time today to start your 21-day budget cleanse. Go to OxygenFinancial.net to schedule a complimentary meeting now. Go to OxygenFinancial.net to get started today. Securities offered through Kestra Investment Services, LLC. Member FINRA, SIPC. Advisory services offered through Kestra Advisory Services, LLC. An affiliate of Kestra Investment Services. Oxygen is not affiliated with Kestra.
Hey, thank you, regulators. Welcome back to the Shrimp Tank right here. Coming to you live every Thursday from 11:30 to 12:30 right here in the Business Radio Network studios in beautiful Sandy Springs. I'm your co-host, Ted Jenkin. Sitting here with my co-host, Chris Hanks, who's the executive director and founder for now the Shore Center for Entrepreneurship. And I will tell you, parents, if you have not seen what's going on at KSU, I tell you to take a trip out there because the school is blowing up in a good way. And mark my words, it's growing, it's on the scene, and it will compete heavily with some of the major schools across the United States in the next 5 years as the program grows and develops. And who knows, maybe your child will be an entrepreneur as well. And I'll tell you what, here's what won't make them a lot of money, standardized test. It's just amazing to me. They can't figure this thing out. The SATs were at 2,400, now they're back to 1,600. I went through and sat in, guys, before we get to our plead the fifth, one of these parent nights. Now, I will tell you, truth in lending in here, that about 4 or 5 years ago, I was banned from parent nights, okay? Not by the school. I was banned by my wife. And I was banned because I was asking all of these questions about, like, why would you let my kid keep taking makeup tests until eventually they pass? That doesn't make any sense. Mm. When they get out into the real world, they're going to fail. And so your boss doesn't say, oh, what a terrible job you did. Let's do a makeup. And then keep giving you makeups until you pass. Eventually, you fail. So it's very, very interesting. But we're in this political year, obviously, and obviously we're right down the wire here. And so I'm curious, as an entrepreneur yourself and leading a lot of entrepreneurs, not about who you'll vote for, but I'm more curious about how you think the impact of either Trump or Clinton will affect small business owners. Or do they think sometimes that I think that they really don't know what we do and don't care what we do, even though we create 70% of the jobs in America?
The biggest trouble I got in at Forbes, I almost lost my position at Forbes writing about Trump.
Did you?
Yeah, I mean, oh boy, they took me out to the, you know.
The New York Times wouldn't have cared. You could have said anything.
They thought I was actually favoring Hillary when I wrote about it, and I've tried to be fair about it, but it's a really good question, and I go back and forth on this thing. You know, Hillary's Wall Street's candidate.
Right.
I mean, she's got that locked up, and they're very satisfied with Hillary. Chamber, you know, so Trump, you know, he reminds me of the brilliant jerk. The company, when it starts growing, there's always that guy that cannot put the company ahead of himself. He likes to be in the small. He wants it all to be about him. And when you're so small, it's about you. And then when it starts growing, it's no longer about. That's the whole magic. That's the magic of the brand. Trump just cannot let it be about the country and about the party. It's got to be about him. And
you think there's a Trump cafeteria at the, you know, I was always wondered if I went there, if there was Trump cafeteria.
I would be a good guess, would probably be Trump cafeteria. But the bad thing about it is it sucked up a lot of the news. Right now, all the media, if you cover healthcare, you go cover Trump's healthcare report. It's sucking up all the oxygen. And there's like Facebook came out with Facebook Marketplace.
I know. That,
you know, Zuckerberg is doing, that's what we should be thinking about, right? And reporting on is what that guy is doing at Facebook.
He's killing it right now.
He's the best CEO in the country.
He's really smart.
He's a really smart guy and he's executing. And, you know, it's just beautiful stuff. And you don't even get to hear about that you hear about, you know, all this other stuff. So I had some hope that Gary Johnson was the libertarian was going to do something, but
yeah,
they're like,
what do you think about Aleppo? He's like, what's that? I have no idea what you're talking about. It's like, who are you, Admiral Stockdale from the thing in there? He's like, I don't even know why I'm here. Why am I in this election at all?
He had said he was not going to smoke marijuana during the election. I think he probably broke his promise because you don't know what Aleppo is. The great thing about this country is you can still go start a business today. There's not a big test for it. You know, it's not matter where your parents came from. If they stay away from that, they can screw up everything else. We still got that going for us as a country. You can still start a business.
So you referenced the 7S model before, which I'm familiar with, and I know a lot of people listening aren't, but your least favorite of the 7S's, the one that you think, yeah, that's the one that I dislike the most.
Man, you got him on a stumper there. I like that.
And I love the 7S.
you love all the S's.
But, you know,
all those S's are your favorite S's.
I dream about those S's.
You dream about those S's?
Yes.
So you got people curious as to what those S's are.
He dreams in S's.
Strategy, you know, shared values, strategy, skills. You know, I love style. I think a style of
you
a
love
company.
Style.
I love style. But the one I probably is the skills.
Skills?
I think you don't hire necessarily for skills. You
hire attitude.
Attitude, and do they have it? You can get a little carried away on that. You know, staff's important because your entrepreneurs start these companies. These companies are built by teams. They are totally built by teams. What quality of team they're going to get in the door. And the entrepreneurs, the spark and the vision. Yeah. So staff's important.
So are you willing to say on here, the entrepreneur, that in all the years that you've worked with that you like the least?
The entrepreneurs?
Yeah, well, you've met a lot of entrepreneurs, but I'm not saying that you met one D-bag somewhere, but I'm thinking that certainly there was one person, even Cliff Oxford came across you, said, I hope I do not work with this person again.
I'll give you a hint.
You can plead the fifth if you want.
I'll give you a hint. The person was in the morning. Was in the morning report this morning on a company they used to run. But if I said the name, everybody would know it. But that wouldn't be fair to them.
All right.
Are they a current member of the Oxford Center?
No, they're not.
Okay, so what current member of the Oxford Center? If they went away, you would be like, yeah, I'm good with that. That's your least favorite member of the Oxford Center.
I thought y'all would ask me, like, who's my favorite member? That would also be hard to say. That'd be hard to say.
Well,
you know what? The thing about it is, my least favorite is the people who don't join, right? No,
I like that.
And no, they shouldn't join. If they can't, you know, I tell people, if you can't see the value here, then you probably don't need us. But when someone gives us their money and says, I'm going to let you guys lead the charge, we take that very seriously over there. We take it very, very seriously. And it's personal. It's very personal to us. So, you know, really and truly, all of them are great folks. And we just are honored they would say, here, we're gonna let you take a little tiny role in what we're doing here. It's just a little tiny nudge. And I tell people, I'm not a good developer of people. I'm not a Chris Hanks. I can't go out and develop Lee Heisman. What I can do is go out and give them a nudge, you know, and I know which nudge to give them. And that's really what I'm good at doing, is giving the nudge. So that makes it fun working with everybody.
Now, is it a good idea to marry an entrepreneur? Is that a yay or a nay?
No, don't marry an entrepreneur. Entrepreneurs are... Don't let your babies grow up to be cowboys or entrepreneurs. Don't let them do that.
Why doesn't someone want to marry an entrepreneur? We're lovable, aren't we?
No.
We're not lovable.
No. You know, I deal with it. You know, I wouldn't believe it. Unfortunately, you know, I got a divorce 14 years ago and have not remarried, but I pride myself on, I keep a lot of marriages together. And because I always tell the entrepreneur, it's you. You're the problem.
We
are the problem. It's not your wife. It's not your children. It's you. Because it was me. It was me that...
Baby, I'm just out there working. That's all I'm doing. I'm just working. I'm not drinking. I'm not cheating.
I'm just working. And look how we got all this. How do you think we get all this?
Well, they did. They had that...
So wrong.
They had... I had a one of my business owners I've known for many, many years. I think he's divorced 3-4 times at this point. And he said to me, Ted, absence doesn't make the heart grow fonder. It makes it grow absent. and that is what happens. He's, you know, yeah, you're not around all the time.
That's a good way of putting it. That's a very true statement.
All right, Chris, let's do one more.
All right. So, you know, many entrepreneurs pay a psychological price for their journey. What psychological price have you paid to be an entrepreneur?
Oh, you guys are, this is hot. This is hot stuff.
It's rough with the professors in here. You know, it's rough. I ask the dumb questions. Chris asks the smart ones. You know, this is how it works in here.
That psychological pressures of being that cost me was, you know, and we got over this. Dr. Burkowski, by the way, I tell entrepreneurs, she was wonderful in counseling. I think there's nothing wrong with counseling. Go into counseling and go, you know, I'm not doing so great here. What's wrong? And, you know, and what she really helped me with is that there was this something embedded in me that I had to win. I had to win at any cost. And that's, you sometimes need to look at the cost of winning. So the winning at any cost is not necessarily good. So I'm still very competitive, but it is looking at psychologically having that win. I got to win. That probably led to some bad decisions.
Yeah.
Well, Cliff, we want to thank you for coming on today. And we're going to be doing a post-show wrap-up. You'll have to catch the entire video of Cliff on YouTube, and we'll put it out to all of you when we send out our weekly newsletter across the country. And all of our people that are following our show, we thanks for listening to us today. So, Cliff, so people that are interested in learning more about your Center for Entrepreneurship and definitely becoming a member and learning how to take advantage of all the great things that we've been able to, how can someone learn more about you and the great Center for Entrepreneurship?
Thank you for doing that and bringing that up. You know, go to oxfordcenter.com, 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 and just contact us in any number of ways there, including the telephone. The telephone still works, by the way. We still answer it. Social media, email, everything. And we would look forward to hearing from any of them. And, you know, November the 4th is the next meeting at Avalon, 8:30 a.m. It's for members, but what we will do is give any of your listeners, please come as my guest, because it's certainly been an honor to be here today. So November the 4th, 8:30 a.m. We'd love to have them there, or contact us earlier. Get the morning report. You can sign up for the morning report on the website too. That was, we talked about the day. About 32,000 people a day are opening that right now. And while that's not massive numbers, we're really pleased that we've got 32,000 daily readers.
Well, it's amazing stuff going on there. And if you talk to Cliff's staff, they're unbelievable. So I would check it out. The Oxford Center, learn more about it. If you're an entrepreneur, the cost to join it, to me, is really just a rounding error in your business. That's all that it is. You know, it's a small price to pay to be able to get tons and tons of advice. And I promise you, as an entrepreneur, you're going to pay one way or the other. So you either do this thing the easy way or the hard way. Would you like to learn from somebody that sold their business from $200 million when your business is only doing $2 million? Probably, because they'll understand the growth pains and maybe help you avoid some of the problems that they had. So next week on The Shrimp Tank, we've got a great guest. His name is Richie Knight. I guess he'll be our knight in shining armor, Chris. He's going to tell us about a creative marketing, how to do this. He owns an entire agency dedicated to creative marketing based in Athens, Georgia. He's going to give us a bunch of background. So we always love to talk marketing, which we will next week. And thanks for always is joining us on The Shrimp Tank. Catch a replay of it, Cliff's entire show on shrimptankpodcast.com. And we'll catch you next week right here on The Tank. I've been feeling like a shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When it takes a swim, only option is to win. In the murky water, not a thought of giving in. I've been feeling like a shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When it takes a swim, only option is to win. In the